Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Designated Survivor After Show. We're going to be breaking down the pilot and see how Kiefer Sutherland goes from being Jack Bauer, man of action, to Tom Kirkman, man left out of the action, at least so far. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yes. Look at that. Destiny's Child welcoming us in to the Designated Survivor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Hi, everybody. We'll be breaking down the entire season of Designated Survivor, which just debuted tonight on ABC. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
What's up? I'm one of your hosts. My name's Christine Alexis, and you can follow me on Twitter at Christine Bean with three E's.
Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV, on Instagram at TheOnlyMC. Snapchat's on there, too, if you really want to see what I do on a daily basis.
Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And check out my blog, catslipstickla.com.
That sounds interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote about my life. I just went on 7 dates in 7 days and wrote about it. Check it out.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Man, I feel like we want to just write down this blog.
Lots of good meals.
All right.
Yeah, some drinks, some meals. Do you want to, like, switch the show?
Yeah, let's say we're going off and talking about this blog. But folks, you can like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes there, like us or give us 5 stars on iTunes. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can also hop in the chat right now. We've got the live chat running.
We got 3 people so far. We got 2 people.
What's up, guys? Oh,
we're in the third person live chat. There you go. If you want to hop in, share your thoughts about what you thought about the pilot episode of Designated Survivor starring Kiefer Sutherland, former Jack Bauer. Man of action.
Hey, he's still...
I guess he's
still a beast.
He's still... Absolutely.
Someone actually... Ivan Soto said, Tom Kirkman, Clark Kent / Superman. Which, I mean, he starts out... I think it's a good analogy.
Yeah, that's true. So Designated Survivor, created by David Guggenheim. He, in addition to being just, you know, the husband of Elizabeth Shue, is also a film writer. Most recently wrote the film Safe House, Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds. Anybody saw that? Came out a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And basically the premise is there's always whenever they do a big presidential State of the Union, there's always one designated survivor, somebody that's a member of the cabinet that is left in an undisclosed location in case something, a catastrophic event happens. And then they would enact the government line of succession, and that person would then be the new president of the United States. That's where we got. That's where we start off today. We find out our man, Kiefer Sutherland, playing Tom Kirkland, is just watching that State of the Union address.
I thought it was very interesting how, from the beginning, they kind of paint him as a person who is not a leader in terms of we have conflict with mealtime, that they don't trust him as a cook. And they're like, oh, not him again cooking breakfast. The wife questioning his decision with the daughter staying up. And so I thought, you know, I was wondering how they would paint him. And even just the character development, I'd be interested to hear from other people. And even everyone on the live chat about his character development throughout, starting out that they really portrayed him as, you know, oh, he's this urban guy. He can't even get what he wants in the State of the Union. And then immediate. Did you think it was too much all in one episode? Did you guys like how the character development?
I liked it. I mean, it was a lot and very intense, but I do love the way they introduce his character, and I like that we got to know his family a bit. And I'm very interested to see what happens with him and his wife throughout this whole process, because they're like really good together, but I feel like this kind of career change may like really affect the family, and I'm excited to see that. And also, does anyone know the wife's name? Can we actually ask?
It is Alex.
It is Alex.
According to the ABC website. Alex. Yeah, IMDb has Jessica, but I was wrong.
We were thinking Alex, Jessica, or Lucy. So
yeah,
I'm glad we clarified that.
I heard
that.
Lucy. I'm not sure where that came from. Maybe another character's name is Lucy.
But Frank was right. He corrected us all. It's Alex.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's right, guys. That's all. I'm just about, you know, just fact checking here the show for Designated Survivor.
Lay down the law.
No, I think that what's interesting about Kiefer Sutherland is if anybody really thinks about his iconic roles, you gravitate towards Jack Bauer. You think about him being that aggressive, take charge.
Absolutely.
If a crisis is happening, that's the man you want kind of leading point for this. It's interesting just to see him in this sort of role where he's just more of a, he's kind of mediating at first. You know, he's not really that aggressive. To see him in that mm-hmm. kind of backseat kind of position at first, it kind of takes a little getting used to.
And even so, you look at him and you think even that he has been involved in politics, but then you find out that he was in academia mm-hmm. and he was like an educator. So he's never won a political race. So he's not in the political strategy at all.
Absolutely. And you find out, especially he realizes just how far he's being boxed out is when, as you were saying, he doesn't have any of the talking points in the president's State of the Union speech. And when he goes to have a meeting to address that, finds out,
by the way, you're getting the boot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a promotion because he's going to be
an ambassador. What was the name of that?
Anytime you're living in Montreal, it's not a promotion.
Yeah, the promotion for what, Civilian Air Aviation Organization? Yeah. It's like a pretty swanky gig.
The Civil Aviation Committee Organization. I mean...
He goes, really?
Did you make that up?
Is that even a thing? Yeah, did you make that up? He was just like, you're bullshitting me, right? Like, this mm-hmm. can't be real.
And we find out when he tells Alex the news for this, she wants him to just stay and fight. And he's like, no, I'm pretty much ready to just, push the, to back out and give my concession right there. And I'll commute. I'll go somewhere else and commute so you folks can stay here. Because Alex thinks, it's been 3 years. The family's really gotten used to being here in D.C. We're really making a go of it. I like my job. The kids are fitting in. You know, fight for this.
Do you think it was too much of a character development then from the beginning of one episode to be almost like a complete pushover to at the very end where he's... standing up and taking charge. Did you think it was too much?
I think it was a lot all at once, but I think that's what the premise of the show is, like that everyday average Joe kind of like stepping into that moment and kind of having to just step up. So we had to kind of see that to lay the groundwork for the season.
And it's always tough with this because do you want the lot of him just kind of struggling, hemming and hawing, try to step up and be president, or do you want him to have the role and try to exert his authority, I guess, and then see how people mm-hmm. kind of react to him trying to lead the country. And it mm-hmm. depends. There's two ways you could go with it. I don't know which one is necessarily better, which way the show's going to go.
Yeah, it's the way that everyone is treating him, I guess. Treating him like he's always acted. So I guess you need that premise to know that he is not really a fighter.
True. And, I mean, I guess his position was Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Mm-hmm. So not the most glamorous position already.
Yeah.
In fact, when things go down and all of a sudden the Capitol blows up, everybody seemed to be, they are lost. There are no survivors.
Yeah.
Pretty much nobody's really thinking that this is a great, this designated survivor, not the best choice they could have made.
Such an interesting scene in the bathroom with Cal Penn's character, right. Where it was like, I mean, I almost felt, I feel like he would know what the other voice was, but I don't know, maybe you're delirious in a time like that, you wouldn't know that it's actually the president, and really calls him on it.
Well, to back up for just a second, because there is one moment when everything goes down, and Kiefer Sutherland gets that call, and he says, what's a designated survivor?
Yeah.
Before the show came up, did you know what a designated survivor was?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it felt weird for me to him to ask that question. Like, mm-hmm. what? You clearly know you're doing this. So
you
what?
Work in Washington. I'm sure you have an understanding.
And you're also just away from everybody. So you kind of get the idea of this is what it is, right? So it seemed very weird for me, especially as a civilian. We all know what it is. And we've heard about it for years. To have a character within that universe go, oh, what is this?
Maybe it was just for like the audience, perhaps. Just so we kind of get that. Clue in on that character, as well as maybe those who don't know or don't understand the title. It's
I could understand that, but then at the beginning of the show, they do the Chiron right there telling you, hey, this is what a designated survivor is.
Just so you know, the show's all about this.
I think that moment was just speaking to the fact that he really was so caught off guard by this whole thing. Like, the fact that he didn't even know what it was, let alone to be prepared for that role. Just
you could see him
left field
in that scene, too, knowing when it took place after he kind of got fired or promoted, that he was just very relaxed, knowing that it was like, well, he's on the out. Who cares? I mean, I would just wearing sweatpants, just very chill, eating some popcorn, just letting his daughter stay up. He was just very relaxed, knowing that, well, doesn't matter. I'm out anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. If you're a designated survivor, what do you wear? You're off in some remote location. You don't have to dress up. You can just relax. Would you relax if you were the designated survivor?
Yeah, but what's going to happen? I'm going to kill the president? I'm fine.
That's probably the last
Netflix.
Thing anyone thought would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ivan on the chat said he was surprised he didn't know what a designated survivor was either.
I'm sure you would dress up pretty fancy, though.
I'd have like some sweatpants and a button-up, so that way you're covering.
That's good. As long as it's waist up, like
way, if you're sitting down, I mean, you guys don't know what I'm wearing under this.
He's wearing
if
sweatpants.
Anything.
I got
jeans on. I got jeans on. I wish here's the thing. We're late at night. We're 11:22. This is sweatpan time, so who knows what I'm going to be wearing every other episode.
Ooh, tune in every week.
What a tease, folks. Look at this. Tweet your thoughts to Michael Klaus there, everybody.
What should he wear?
Now, when you're breaking down this show, it feels like there's going to be three story tracks for this series.
So many plots.
Yeah, where you've got basically just, the drama with Kiefer Sutherland and what's going on with him at the White House and being mm-hmm. a president. We also have the investigation with the FBI kind of mm-hmm. being spearheaded by Maggie Q, mm-hmm. plays Hannah Wells, one of the agents there. Who's looking for her Scott. Somebody Scott that she clearly is in love with that is not answering his phone.
That's rough. I think we've all been there.
It's such a scary moment. No one knows if he's alive or not, and they really are very ambiguous about that.
Yeah.
I think he's dead.
I think so too, but...
I think he's alive simply because I don't think you would bring him up unless there was another mention. Unless there was... something. Here's, not to make a prediction too early, but what if he is being held hostage and she then has to decide what to do? Because she's in a position of making decisions.
Yeah, I mean, she makes two calls in this episode.
Scott's clearly alive. I think so.
You're going out early, man. An early prediction from Michael Klaus.
I very much think that Scott's alive. I don't know who Scott is. I don't know anything about him, but I'm pulling for you.
Okay. And it seems like the last story track that we have in here is the family unit, where we've got Leo and Penny, the Kirkman kids. And this is by far my least favorite part of the series. There's
another one, too, with Harris, General Harris.
Oh, well, I guess I kind of fold him in with the
Oh, you fold, okay,
yeah,
okay.
I kind of fold him in with that. But I feel like the family stuff is the thing I think is going to be the potentially weakest, especially with Leo.
Yeah.
I am not jazzed about this kid.
Leo is a bad kid. Not a bad kid. He's going through that rebellious stage in his teens where he just wants to do what he wants and sell drugs. And he has to get it together because his dad just became the president.
Yeah.
Penny's adorable.
She's super cute.
I would read Penny a bedtime
book. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I just feel like I get shades of, when I see Leo, I get shades of Kim Bauer from 24, like fighting a cougar or something like that, where those are the storylines you're like, oh, why is this in here?
Yeah, and it's too much.
Yeah.
I knew they would, and we talked about this before, I knew that they would come out hitting hard tonight.
Yeah.
But I think they might have just tried too much in the number of plots. I thought the action was great. But the number of plots that you're talking about with him as president, Harris taking control, Hannah Watts looking for her Scott, the other little plot of the aide versus the aide, of Emily Rhodes versus Aaron Shore's character, of Aaron Shore coordinating with General Harris and Emily Rhodes really being that person who's standing by Kirkman's side. That's another, subplot. And then the family one. It's like, man. They could have just scaled back on one of those.
I think that's a tall order for fans to keep up with right away. I think it'll be interesting to see how all these plot lines work themselves out over the season, because it seems like there's just so much going on right away.
Yeah. I love the family plot. I think that's going to be so interesting because of how this is just going to affect all of them. Like, I'm really excited about that. However, I do think... the plot with Leo and the drugs, that annoys me if they're going to really, go into that and make that a big part of the storyline. I don't find that, super interesting. I think that would be too much. However, I do think it would be interesting to see how these dynamics change over the course of the season with him becoming the president. I find that fascinating.
No, I agree. His relationship with Alex and even maybe Penny for the extent could be interesting to see how that changes. But, man, I feel like Leo.
Leo.
I rather wish they didn't have him.
Some people on the live chat are not for Leo. I know Ivan says that. And then MJ says, I really think the Leo storyline is the stereotypical bad rebel drug dealer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's such a shallow plot line. It's like fluff. There's already a lot happening. I think it's just a little extra.
A question I think is interesting, which... Chaos 13212. Would you guys want to post your names? Because sometimes it's interesting. We like to know you on a more personal level than just the name that you've given YouTube. Do you think that Kirkman is a Republican or a Democrat?
Well, I know they've deliberately kept it kind of vague because mm-hmm. they didn't want to be. They want to be able to address issues from both sides of the party there. And there's also Virginia Madsen. She's going to play another designated survivor from the opposing party.
Ooh.
Yes, that's going to come later. So we don't know which side is which, but there are two designated survivors, one from either party.
What's your thought right now? What do you think?
Oh, my gosh.
What's your gut telling you?
I think he's just an independent.
I actually read that.
That's right.
There was an article.
I read that too.
Yeah, there was an article, I think it was Time.com, that was saying they deliberately placed him as an independent because they didn't want it, Kiefer said it, I didn't want it to be a show about a red or a blue party and like alienate the viewers in that way. They wanted to address things from both sides.
Ooh, so. I like that.
I like that too. That's what really intrigued me because I'm like, okay, this isn't going to just be completely biased. It's we're going to be navigating all these things with him.
No, it's very true. Now, as we see, as Michael was talking about, we have our General Harris there. When Tom does get to the White House after his meeting with Seth, Seth's saying, you know, I really think you need to just, you know, you should step down. And he's like, well, maybe I should, but I'm the best you have right now. So you've got 52 minutes to convince the American public that I'm the best person to be doing this right now. So while he's doing that, we go Tom. He meets the Presidential Emergency Operations Room, which seems pretty cool.
And intimidating.
Yeah.
And hectic.
So many phones going on, phone calls going on, conversations.
And I guess as somebody that doesn't really have, isn't used to being in government circles holding that kind of position of authority, to go into that, especially given the circumstances, to try to command that room has got to be incredibly intimidating.
He couldn't even get them to quiet down.
I know.
Like, the Secret Service agent was like, hey, like, quiet down. But, I mean, he did get everyone to, like, you know, have a moment of silence for everyone that was lost. I thought that was, like, the turning point at that moment. Then, at that point, he commanded some sort of attention.
Point.
Yeah, because after that, everyone was pretty calm. He started asking questions. But, at first, it was... He walked in, and he might as well have just been like a fly on the wall. No one really noticed his
still wearing the
there.
Sweatpants.
Yeah. No, super chill.
Then he put on the suit, and it's go time.
Things changed.
I
liked the glasses.
I thought so, too.
So,
that's not a presentation.
Fun fact, because I looked it up when they said that, the only three presidents to have been wearing glasses, like, in their presidential portrait. So, like, they said, like, Bill Clinton had reading glasses, but a lot of them have reading glasses. I mean, they're older, so they obviously wear reading glasses. But the only official ones that wear glasses, Harry Truman, Teddy Roosevelt, and Woodrow Wilson. So it's been a long time, you know, over 50 years since any president has worn glasses. So in the modern age, glasses don't make you look weak, Frank.
We're just I wear glasses too.
I'm contact. Yeah.
Contact.
But that is an interesting thing. That it's one of those things that you don't think about.
Yeah.
It's like, I've never really realized that no president wears glasses. Interesting.
No, that's very true. I mean, I guess it's... Yeah.
It's like facial hair. The last president to wear facial hair... Oh, man. You're going back at least 50 or 60 or 70 years. Because...
Teddy Roosevelt? I mean, nobody...
Probably, yeah. Teddy obviously was known for the mustache. I'm taking it all the way back to FDR. FDR didn't have facial hair before that was... I don't even remember. But, I mean, you're going back into the 30s.
Man, I mean, well, could anybody top Teddy? I guess everybody's like,
hey,
a mustache show presidents.
Abe was the facial hair. He had the beard.
Well, that's true. There you go, the top hat,
but
so you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
But speaking of mustaches I felt like the only thing that was missing from General Harris was a mustache for him to twirl a lot during the course of this. Like, I've got, I'm going to make my end run around this guy. Like, I felt like he was just really heavy-handed in that. Just like, hey, guys, in case you don't know, this guy's not really with Tom. He's going to be working to try to get rid of him. So he's kind of not a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, it's been a few hours. Like, chill, General. Like, maybe give him a week, you know? Like, calm down.
Yeah, that's the only thing that kind of worries me about the show. Again, like, with Leo and then with General Harris, I felt like they just kind of went, like, the easy stereotypical route that you'd see in films or TV shows. Like, we're going to have that angry general that realizes that there's only, force is the only answer.
Yeah, it's very aggressive.
Yeah. Like, oof.
Calm down.
In fact, the general's really pushing Tom to retaliate against Iran because they are moving their fleet in to cut off the Western oil supply. And so, like, this is a declaration. They're trying to take advantage of us now. We got to come back.
Tom pulls out the knowledge.
Yeah.
It was like they've tried to do that for 30 years, and they haven't been successful. They've never done it, so.
And conveniently enough, the ambassador's coming over. Just in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Very convenient.
How was that? That was a little weird for me, that he was just right there all of a sudden.
Maybe they specifically brought him in, but still, that...
I think in the wake of an attack, that's really
quick.
I would expect, a phone call or something.
Yeah,
not like a face-to-face encounter so quickly.
I do think, though, I mean, they definitely played up... General Harris's position, his character, sorry. But I do believe that in that time, if I were Kirkman taking that spot, I would certainly want the best people with military knowledge on my, in my ear. Because I feel like they have... the experience of knowing the intel of where the ships are moving, what are people doing. Obviously, I don't think that person would be as, I don't want to say, like, persuasive, but in, like, a bad way. I don't think they would be that person.
Yeah, you'd feel like they would temper it with some kind of, like, a yes. moment of, you know, like, let's just, you know, be calm and cool for a moment before we go forward.
Here's the facts. Here's the facts. Here's what I would do with it, but it's up to you. Instead of, like, we need to do this now, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
like,
essentially that's what advisors are supposed to do.
Yes.
But they already look at him like a chump, like he can't make this decision for himself, so they're going to just make it mm-hmm. for him.
Yeah, MJ says on here, very arrogant.
Yes, and I feel like he doesn't have, like, it's not like that whole panel that was there in the emergency room kind of were, like, on his side, because even someone like, who's giving you all the power, Harris?
Yeah, so when I turned true. Around. Yeah.
So I feel like at least it's not, like, all unanimous. They're all, like, with Harris against Tom. Like, come on.
So he's just that sole villain, I guess, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe. I mean, I guess we're kind of figuring. He's got something. I mean, he makes a little run game by Aaron as we get a little bit further in the episode. And as we bring up Aaron, we see he's the an aide over to the president. But also we have Emily, who's Tom's chief of staff. And they seem to have some kind of relationship.
There is a past mm-hmm. somewhere there.
And I thought the one key line from Emily in this one, she's trying to get into the White House after she's kind of after everything that's happened and trying to convince Aaron to let her in because she says, you know why it's so important for me to be there. And I'm really curious to see what this reason is that Emily has that it's so important. She's like, Aaron, you know why it's so important that I be there, like for him.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see if Kirkman replaces Aaron with her. I mean, he has the power, certainly, and if you know she's always been there. I mean,
that would build up some resentment, and then Aaron would probably team up with the general.
Yeah, I
was
going to say that would even more turn Aaron against the president to side with Harris.
Then more obstacles in his way. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's tough when you come in like any new position, and certainly this is a more escalated and elevated sort of position than the president of the United States. But how many people from an old regime, when you're coming in to take over something, do you keep? Because they really know the ins and outs of that organization, but do you worry that they may not be working in your best interest?
Yeah, you want to push your agenda, and you want to put your initiatives forward, and you need people who are down to support you and not just hit you with, like, oh, well, this is what we were doing before, or what we think. You know, they kind of have to fall in line, and now he has to lead the way.
And even, it was interesting to have Tom and Alex have that moment outside the Oval Office, where even Tom's like, man, I think maybe we should just go. Or even Alex, somebody that was telling Tom to fight.
I thought that was interesting too.
Was like, we should just go.
Yeah, maybe we should just take the way out. When just like 20 minutes ago, it was like, oh, the kids are good here. You know, we love Washington, etc. Now she's like, okay, this might be a bit much. And I thought it was interesting when she was talking with Cal Penn's character and he addressed her as the First Lady. And I think that's when she had that moment when it hit her that this is happening to her too.
Yeah, it's not just
him. It's not just him. And now she's wrapped into it. And I think it'll be, I'm curious to see how her character will, you know, embody that role and really step mm-hmm. into it over the season, whether she'll be someone that Tom can trust to be that ride or die and help him make decisions, or possibly the opposite. Who knows?
I will say, I totally get why Alex was like, maybe we should just go, because now the family's lives are at risk now that they have this position, mm-hmm. and now that they're not sure if, like, the threat is gone, which, as far as we know, we don't think so.
Yeah.
So, like, I get why that would be your first instinct. You want to protect your family. But obviously, she's going to stay, and so we'll see. Hopefully, things will be okay.
That would be a really quick end of the series.
Like, right. And then we left. They all died. It was two episodes this season.
You've got to think, too, will their relationship be tested? Because what you saw of their relationship is very lovey, and in the scene in the bed where she's working, and, oh, then they have that little cute moment, and, oh, I'm going to make pancakes, oh, blah, blah, blah. Seems very cute. But will that be tested as the season progresses?
I mean, I think it's I think it'll be tested, but I'm hoping that they don't use that as the main source for some kind of dramatic conflict for them. Because I don't know if I'm really interested in seeing them start to kind of fracture the relationship.
There's even when maybe little things that could grow into fester into bigger things with the kids of talking. Like there was a little incident where it let the daughter stay up an hour more, and oh, it's okay, you know, not really a big thing. Small things like that under stress could, you know, become bigger. And obviously we have the situation with the son now selling drugs.
Oh, yeah. And I do like Chaos right here saying, like, the wife is in on it. So he heard everything, conspiracies with those closest to Tom. and we see throughout, we kind of intercut Maggie Q's investigation as they kind of go to the ruins of the Capitol building. And they come across one of the bombs there, and they send in the bomb squad. Nice little tense scene.
I love her character, by the way.
Yeah, I love that she's in this one.
Oh, yeah. She is fantastic. I mean, I loved her in Die Hard. Was where I really, you know, about her character, but there was, I mean, other things that she's done.
Wait, Die Hard or Mission Impossible?
Die Hard. She was in Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, yeah, Live Free. Yep, that one. That one, yep.
She was just free. The BA chick who was just smoking hot and kicking butt. And it was like, whoa, okay.
Seems like she'll be doing a lot of that in this one, maybe.
Yeah, she's very much doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, we got to find out what happens to Scott. I'm not saying
you're like Team Scott all the way. You're like, where's Scott? Yeah,
that's true. I can't be all Team Scott and then want
to
be.
I mean, even Scott, be like the villain or something. You never know.
Love Scott.
But no, yeah, getting back to what you were saying, to finding that other bomb.
Yeah, and what I thought was interesting is that Maggie says, we haven't heard any chatter. I mean, before 9/11, before Brussels, before Paris, there was always that sense of chatter that something was, they didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but they knew something was going to happen. And with this, they've heard nothing.
And they heard nothing after. Mm-hmm. She said no one was making moves to hide or do anything. No one's moving in the wake of this attack. So it is really weird that it's silent. And she makes that. She kind of alludes to the point that maybe they're not done. This isn't over yet.
Yeah. Who knows whoever is responsible for this and what the exact end game is. But it seems like there's certainly more to come. Yeah. It seems like out of these storylines, I feel like Tom's storyline is the most interesting to see what somebody does in that position. To, with no government experience at all, all of a sudden being forced to being the leader of our country. And then I feel like the second storyline is just Maggie Q and the investigation to see where this all leads.
Mm-hmm.
But the family, then I'm harping on the family thing. I was like, let's just, other than the relationship, let's just quietly move Leo. Just
and they played that one up in the preview for next week of finding the roll of money.
Oh, yeah. And when he says, it's not what you think. I think my son is dealing drugs. Like, yeah, it is what you think.
So maybe it is what you think.
It is exactly what you think. You nailed that on the head. But though, in terms of just the premise for the show, I feel like this is a premise that is really cool. But it's interesting that it's never been really. I've never seen this on a television show.
It's been done one time before, back in 1994. It was a Tom Clancy novel, Debt of Honor, and it was Jack Ryan takes over after an attack on the Capitol. But I mean, what is that? 22 years ago. So it's been a long time, and it's a very interesting, plot. I agree.
Actually, one of our viewers, Ivan, just made a good point. The mystery of Kirkman was actually chosen for a reason.
Mm. Yep.
Maybe something happened that he was supposed to be the person to be the designated survivor that day.
Well, they made that comment in the show about that there's a reason that he was chosen. They made that comment in the show. It was said, I forget who said it. There's a reason that it was him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
Is it not the same person every time?
No. It switches up. Right. But I don't know how someone else could control who the designate, because I think it's random and maybe planned out a couple of years in advance of, like, this person is going to sit for this, this person is going to sit for this.
You think so?
Maybe it just happened on the day that he was fired, though. Maybe somebody conspired to get him fired so that they would default to him to go because he was on the way out anyway. I mean, that's like reaching, but no, it could very well be like a crazy conspiracy.
Certainly, if you wanted to have somebody kind of running the country that you think you could easily get rid of or manipulate. Then you put a guy that really doesn't have much experience at all in that position.
Maybe they're underestimating him like everyone else.
Oh, when he took off those glasses, I think he was like, you guys, underestimating is over. Get ready for some ass whooping.
Well, he hasn't. I mean, I do like that he hasn't really been a pushover since taking... Mm-hmm. This on. I mean, he has been like, we're going to do it my way. If my way doesn't work, we'll do it your way. He hasn't been like, okay, whatever you guys want, like, we'll do it. Yeah. He's been pretty, like eerie calm, but he's been calm about it. And I think he does have a plan. I'm just hoping, like, maybe cooking isn't his best skill, but maybe being the president is like his jam. Now he has a
personal chef, so he's good to go. Do you like his calmness? Do you think he was too calm? What would you like to see in a president or someone in a similar situation?
Someone calm. I guess for us, because of that character we met in the very beginning, like making food for his family and like just backing down off his job and not really being a fighter, then you see him take on this position and he's so calm that the audience is like, "What? Why is this character acting like so okay about this?" And it's just like, he's panicking on the inside, but he keeps his cool, which is something I would want for a president. If someone's taking over, I wouldn't want them to be like, "Oh my God, what do we do next?" He seems like he has it under control. It's been a few hours. He's got it. Time to get it together.
Well, I thought even Seth, as he's kind of prepping in for the speech, says, you know, you've got to be stronger than you've ever been before for this speech. You just can't be like the other kind of like happy-go-Jackie.
You have to be...
Yeah, he's being relatable.
You have to show force.
Yes.
I think is, you know, the right way to put it in that. You want to be able to be calm and show that you're not intimidated, but you still need to show force. Yeah. And that's why even, you know, him allowing the jets to fly over that area and to have the bombers ready, I think was a smart move. Listen, I'm not just going to completely sit back. You know, you have to be proactive.
And in fact, let's talk about that scene with the ambassador, because I felt like for people that love Kiefer Sutherland, you want to see him in that kind of Jack Bauer-esque kind of aggressive role. So you kind of really see some of those shades come out.
You wanted to come out.
Yeah.
That scene was great.
I'm like,
that was basically, I'm just going to just talk really calmly, but man, just make no
mistake. That was the first suit shot.
Yeah.
Of him in the suit. Power suit, power steering.
Very true.
Yeah, I had no difficulties believing him as president of the United States during that scene.
Yeah, that was being assertive 101.
Yeah.
That was good. I like in the way I was like, 3 hours.
He's like wiping the glasses.
I forgot.
He's like, you know, I'm going to give it to you. I'm the only person in the city who's going to give it to you straight. And he just was completely direct with him and just like that.
This is a good lesson just on communication in general.
Yeah.
I think he did a really good job not being passive, not being passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. He was assertive. He made his point in a calm manner. It was good. Take notes, guys. This is good.
after your 7 dates, yes. This is what you're hoping for?
That's right. My next blog.
There's one thing you've learned.
There you go. Castor, one of his acts as president is going to be to make torture legal. Oh, come on. As Jack Bauer, always loved that. A good torture scene. Why not? Give me a chainsaw. All right.
So going forward, I'm wondering what questions people have looking at, you know, what we've seen so far. A couple that I would come up with is, you know, interested to see what they do is filling the other cabinet or the vice presidential positions.
Right.
Of kind of establishing that groundwork around him. Because it's still necessary. You need all that stuff. So,
and the clock is ticking because the country wants to see, like, you've got a plan of action in place that there is a government being reorganized.
Yes. So that's probably the biggest one, the question that I had.
The biggest question is who's responsible for all
of
this?
Well, the biggest question besides the obvious.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's the one thing is, do you want it to be a conspiracy within the own government, or do you want it to be external forces kind of attacking the states? I mean,
the government. I totally want it to be something with the government. I would love that.
I was predicting like a domestic, possibly someone domestic in the country, but
like a local. Like terror cell or something.
Some kind of local terror cell or...
Yeah. I want someone so close. I want to be someone we see all the time in
Renee.
This. I love those twists. Oh, yeah.
And so like at the season finale, they capture him and then he finds us. You don't even realize I'm just the tip of the iceberg. You're like, oh.
What movie is that with Angelina Jolie?
I love it.
Salt.
Salt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Salt. Yeah. Where the character who's like very close. Salt. What was the other one? Air Force One, which is one of the best presidential shows.
Get off my plane.
I mean, get off my plane. That with Harrison Ford. Yeah, but they did it there. So that's true. Maybe it's been done a couple times. But
when you feel backstabbed, like as a viewer, But gosh, I could watch that for hours.
See, like a storyline like that, I think, can keep going and twisting and turning. If it does turn out to be the opposite, where it's some sort of external factor, and then he neutralizes it, then what happens?
Like, yeah.
What's season two? Is he going to stay in office? You know, is there going to be another threat that comes up that they have to deal with once they deal with this one?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it needs to be something. Yeah, that's true. You need to think future seasons of, you know, obviously it. And that's why I'm looking at it now of saying I think it could be maybe like a homegrown cell and then they have to figure out the ties for later seasons.
Yeah, but then it's going to be like, then every season's going to be, this is the guy behind the guy. Oh, no, this is the guy behind the guy behind
Not
the guy.
Guy.
And you're like, come on. How many more guys behind the guys?
I think it's going to be like they're going after all these people and then they're going to have this revelation of like, it has to be someone on the inside.
All right, Renee, right now, Renee, watching only the pilot episode, who is your inside man for this?
I'm gonna say I'll go with one of the chat people. I'm gonna say the wife. I'm gonna say if they do a complete plot twist, I'm gonna say the wife.
Why?
All right.
Oh my god, that I was thinking the same thing about
Quantico.
I love Quantico.
I love Quantico, too.
I'm going to be on that after show.
Wow, that's very...
I love it. Renee has called that bold shot early in the season. I love it.
Woo!
All right. Alex Kirkman is the inside woman. I love it.
We now know her name, and we now know the enemy.
That's
right. Wonder what her real name is on the outside.
Maybe her real name is Lucy.
Yeah, or Jessica. That's right.
Yeah. I don't know where I got Lucy from. I don't know.
So, Renee made a bold prediction. She really cast the net far for that. So why don't we do a little little predictions here about where we think the rest of the season is going to be going.
Predictions. And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Renee, do you have any more other than that really bodacious one that you did?
I will say, I think the whole reason for Leo's storyline to begin with is just that he's going to create a lot of issues for Tom. And his new job. Because I think everyone is going to be watching Tom right now because he's the next president. They don't know who this person is. And they're like all skeptical. And then they have the son who's getting into all this trouble. And they're looking at his family. And I think that's going to be an issue. And I also will say, I do think him and his wife are going to have a lot of problems as the season continues.
I completely can see what you're saying with that Leo, and that's a valid point. But I just feel like he's already a guy that's like an academic. I mean, and that is way in and over his head. I feel like there's already enough potential for storylines like, oh, Leo,
right? Why do we need over this guy? It.
Yes.
Should have had one.
So a couple predictions. One, Scott lives.
Yes, that's right.
Wait, we didn't see that coming from you.
Scott lives. Two, I'm calling just overall throughout the season that it is like a homegrown terror group. That is related to something abroad. Because I think that is very even just prevalent of something that has been happening. I mean, even you look at what happened in Minnesota with the stabbings, that it was kind of like a local guy who had, ISIS connections, and ISIS is calling for more individual attacks by, like, individual and homegrown people. And even the situation that is still playing out in, like, New York and New Jersey, where they're still looking for the two guys, and they had the one guy who had traveled back to Pakistan. And that's just a very prevalent thing of what is happening. And so I think they could definitely incorporate that into the show. And the other one I'm looking at is with the son selling drugs. Could he have any connection with some bad groups
that
are maybe related to... the terror.
Just gets worse.
No, you're good. I was thinking the same thing. I found it weird that he was the only person who wasn't around the day of the bombing. Mm-hmm. They had to go and find him later, and maybe the guys that he's mixed it with doing, like, selling drugs could be connected, like you said, to a dangerous group, and he later becomes a pawn of some sort because of his connection to Tom, being his son. I think that'll definitely play out a bit more. I think that Tom is going to have to build from the ground up and get rid of the general and anyone else who's really going to stop him from coming into his own. I think it'll be interesting to see how he reshapes the people around him and the next steps that he takes.
Yeah, I feel like General Harris, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that this is more of a red herring kind of bad guy, where he's just the initial opposition to Tom, and he's going to eventually get the boot, or at least be quiet for a majority of the season, maybe come back from the outside to try to take Tom on. But I feel like... I think you're right. I think Tom will kind of get those people that really don't gel with him, kind of move them out and bring people in that he can work with better for this. I'm curious to see what Emily's relationship is with Tom. There seems to be some connection that she feels that she really needs to be around Tom for this. So I predict we're going to find out maybe they're secret lovers. No.
I think it's more like a mentee kind of thing.
When the wife is the one in charge, she comes back next season as the new first lady.
Woo!
Is this like a mixed scandal? Like,
oh, oh man.
And I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that Leo just maybe he just falls into like a coma or something.
Yeah, oh, that would be so nice.
You know? Yeah,
and then
he's still
visit
around.
Visit him every six episodes.
Exactly.
Yeah. For like a second though, not too long. Like drop off the flowers, leave.
Or just even reference, I'm gonna go see Leo. That's all we need.
And then just get out and never see
him. That's a scene. I'll go see Leo, and then that's it.
Overall, rated between scale of 1 to 10. What do you got?
Oh, my. It's great to see Kiefer back on TV again.
It is.
And certainly, one of the things that he wanted to do is he wanted to do a 22-episode season. Because he says, they're like Kevin Bacon, other actors like that, of that caliber, who still want to do films, so maybe do 15 episodes for a season. And he says, no, 22, you really got to show a network that you're committed to a series. Because then they'll really show that they're committed back as well. So I feel like having him there is so awesome. So I'm glad to see him back. I'll give this a 7 with a chance to increase.
I'm going to do an 8. I was really impressed. There were some storylines like that we all agreed on that should probably die, and that I think will just kind of steer the show in a weird direction and be a lot for us to digest. But I think for the pilot, I think they came in pretty strong. I, too, have been dying to see Kiefer back on the screen. I loved him in 24. I think he'll really bring... he's going to anchor this show. Not just as the main character, but just how he carries the role and how things play out with him, I think, will be telling for the show.
I give it a 7.5. Really liked how... I mean, I think this is such a hard show to start off from the beginning, so I think we got a lot of information, met a lot of characters, aren't quite sure what's going on, and don't really know the structure for the season yet. But I, you know, I have hope. High expectations for the show, but I'll say 7.5 for the start.
I'm going to go with you on the 7.5, simply because I just see it almost as too stereotypical to a certain extent. And I thought they almost, you know, once again, tried to almost do too much. And I know it was like 24, you know, they're hitting hard and just continuing to hit. And, you know, maybe that's what they wanted to do with the show. Maybe that's what some people are craving. But it's almost like too unrealistic with everything playing out at once.
Yeah.
That's just the way I look at it.
It's tough to say whether you would hope, after seeing so many different series kind of stumble and fail with some of these kind of characters that they're trying to put in the series, that whether the show is trying to, like, oh, we can make it work this time, or they're just trying to play against audience expectations. Like, we're going to think you're doing this, and we're going to twist it, and it's going to be something different. So, fingers crossed that the show's smarter than we are, and they have a game plan that we're not even recognizing yet.
Something interesting to bring up, too, off-screen, is that actually Cal Penn, who plays the speechwriter, actually was a speechwriter for President Obama.
Really?
Which is crazy, because some of his past characters, I mean, you look at some of the shows that he's done, and going to White Castle. It's kind of wild Harold and Kumar-esque, like, funny things, but he actually was a speechwriter for President Obama, and so they actually used him a lot in the show, talking about, you know, when they were filming, of would this be correct? Would there be people here? And Kiefer said that in a couple of scenes, he was just called it, and he was like, this is not realistic. Like, these people would not have access to this designated area, and so they had him leave the scene.
That's awesome.
And so that's how they have a government person who is like, hey, this is what it actually would be like. So it is pretty realistic as far as who is in what scene and how things play out. But it's interesting. Plays a speechwriter on here, actually was a speechwriter.
I'm sure those extras in those scenes really appreciated Cal just, you know, kicking them out. Thanks, Cal.
Get the heck out of here.
It's my chance to be in the background. Now, Christine's also been scouring all the news and stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And you've been watching some of Live with Kelly as well. Kiefer was on there. You were talking about that in our little email earlier today.
Yeah, he was on earlier this morning. I'm sure doing all the press rounds, drumming up a lot of buzz and chatter about the show. And he was talking about the fact that he really wanted to, like you said, show his support to the network and do a long-form show, do the full 22 episodes, and how much he was really excited to play this character and how different he is from Jack Bauer. I'm sure there's a lot of expectations out there about whether or not those characters are going to be the same in any way because he's playing them, and he was very vocal about them being separate characters. And I think that'll be cool to see.
Yeah. It's getting good reviews. I mean, the reviews that I've read is a, quote, best chance for a breakout hit. Another outlet that I read gave it a B+.
Yeah.
So certainly it's getting some good reviews. We'll just see what kind of continues. Yeah. Also interesting, he never watches his own shows.
Yeah, he did talk about that as well.
Yeah. That he never watches any of his own movies, any of his own shows. He said he did it once, and it didn't work out well with like his mom critiquing him or something like that. And he was like, from then on, I knew I just don't watch my own shows.
Oh, well, I watch every single one of my after shows. But just for Michael Clark.
Put some on,
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Designated Survivor. But we're going to be back all rest of the season, breaking down every single episode of the series, finding out what twists and turns David Guggenheim and the rest of his staff have in store for us. So, folks, as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat. Guys, we'd love having you in there this evening.
We had some great people.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
So much for chatting with us.
This is fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
Great questions.
Especially this late.
Yeah, thanks for taking
our podcast. Past your bedtime. We're into it.
Next week, we're all wearing sweatpants.
All right, we're taking it easy here on Designated Survivor. Now, if you want to stay in touch with us and continue the conversation even after the show's over, Renee, where can they find you?
Hey, guys. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Renee Ariel, and then check out my blog, Cat's Lipstick LA, and read all about my 7 dates in 7 days.
What do you got planned for this next week? How many?
Dates? Oh, I'm not gonna, I'm done dating for a while.
We have to check out our blog.
It was overwhelming.
I'm very interested. We'll be talking later. You can find me on Twitter at Michael Klaus TV, on Instagram at The Only MC.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean with 3 E's. I want to know what you guys think is going to happen for episode 2.
Tweet her. Yes, absolutely. And you can tweet me at Happy Go Jackie. We will see you here next week for another episode of the Designated Survivor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.